Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Isn't it good to be here today? I know. Yeah, amen. Amen. We still have a lot of people that are not here because of travel. They're still traveling and over the Christmas holidays, and we just want to pray for them. And also, we have some that are a little bit under the weather, a lot of colds and things of that nature. So we just want to pause for a moment and just pray for those. If you will, just join with me. Father, thank you for this time we have together. Lord, you've made it a way for us to be in your presence through Jesus. And Lord, you've made it a way for your presence to be in our midst if we're gathered together in your name. And you said it didn't take but two or three. Lord, we have more than that today. We thank you for the number that we do have. And we welcome your presence and we honor you. And Father, we just ask you to do whatever you want to do in this service today. Lord, just bypass our plans, order our steps, just do what you want to do. And help us to be attentive to your voice and to your word. And Lord, we just come to you now asking you to protect those that are traveling. And thank you, Lord, that they've had time to spend with their families during these holidays. And Lord, these that are under the weather, that are sick and have the different respiratory things that's going on, we ask you for healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, you provided a way for that. You provided a pathway, a means through the very back of Jesus. With the stripes, Lord, healing is available. So we ask you in Jesus' name to bring health and wholeness to everyone's body. Lord, that let us glorify you with our countenance, with our words, and Lord, let us glorify you with the members of our body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Yeah, Emmeline. Oh, she was about to leave. I had to get that out before she left. Emmeline. Eric and yeah, they just have a beautiful baby. Just bring her up and so they can get a good camera shot of her. And you can come. You can come in. Yeah. No, get over here. Get over here where they can zoom in and everybody can see her and all that. Yay! Yeah, that's God's sign to us, saying, "Look, I've got a world, and I'm creating and bringing people into it." Amen. Thank you. Good to have you guys back. Welcome, Emmeline. You know, that's all I can do to not go down and take that baby out of that mama's arms. But I'm restraining myself, you know. But yeah, it's so good. It's so good to have you guys, and so good to see babies being born in the kingdom, and in this earth. And she will come to the age of accepting Jesus, and she's going to be doing wonderful things. Amen. She's got great parents. Also, I want to say, let's see. Thank you to all you for all your giving and for what you're doing and here. And I know that sometimes it's difficult to give through the holidays because you have so many other things that you need to spend money for. But I just want to give you an update on some things, and then we'll get into the message. But you were able to assist the Grace of God mission, Grace of God Rescue Mission, feeds over 600 people by your buying all the turkeys for them and everything. So thank you that we were able to do that, and they had leftovers, you know, so they were able to have some leftover. But they use some of those for Christmas as well. Also, we, through our special missions, which you give into, what we do is whatever your offerings, whatever our offerings are that are not designated, it goes into our general offerings, and we take 13%, not 10%. We take 13% of that, and put it into special missions. So it can go to foreign missions, it can go to local missions. And so we decided to do that. We used to do 10%, and then several years ago we struggled a little bit financially during the dip back in 2005 and during those days. And we met with the elders and said, okay, you know, the income is low because of certain things, and, you know, because of the dip in the economy and people not having jobs and all that kind of stuff. And I remember we met, and the elders, I said, we need some guidance on what we need to do and what kind of expenses do we need to, you know, which ones do we need to cut so we can meet budget and all that kind of stuff. And Terry Hageman, he was one of the elders, and he is the big faith guy in the elders. They all have faith, but he said this. He said, Pastor, I think what the Lord's telling me, and that's what I asked him. I said, what's God telling you? You know, and he said, I think the Lord's telling me. He said, we just need to up our giving. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm saying, maybe he didn't hear me. You know, I said, up our giving. He said, yeah. He said, don't we take out 10% of what people give, and then we give it to other missions and other ministries? And I said, yeah. He said, we just need to give more. He said, if you want more, just give more. You remember that, Brother Doug? You and Brother John, you remember that? You know, so I said, all in favor of upping the giving, you know, just what do y'all want to do? So it was unanimous. So I said, okay, this meeting's over. We don't have to cut. We're not cutting anything. We're just going to up our giving, you know. So, but see, God's kingdom is upside down from rational thinking. That's the reason when we sing that song, I Walk by Faith, it takes faith to walk that way. But I really did appreciate Brother Terry sharing that. But we do depend upon people's giving and everything. But we're in a place, you know, that God is bringing us to a place of higher vision. We was able to get out of debt in the church with the church about two years ago. God knows what he's doing. But anyway, let me get back to this thing. We were able to give from about the special missions that we take out of general. I put it in special mission. We were able to buy 900 boxes. And we partnered with the food line because they had all these food boxes. And we were able to purchase and get 900 boxes for Brother Terry to give out to people who needed food. And those 900 boxes made 5,400 meals. So, but you were able to give into that. And you just can't go wrong ministering to the poor, ministering to the needy, giving people food that are hungry, giving them a cup of water when they're thirsty. You just can't go wrong. That's the way of Jesus. You can have all these other stuff and forget that, and we've lost the mission of what we're supposed to be doing. But thank you for your giving and for your offerings that you do give. We just want to say we appreciate that. ICIT is a great thing. I would like for every person that's a member of this church, connected to this church, if you haven't gone through that, it will accelerate your maturity. If you really want to grow at a more rapid pace than what you're growing in the Lord, this thing will accelerate greatly. It's written by Francis Frangipan out in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. But he's one of my spiritual fathers, and I've been connected to him probably since around 2000, year 2000, something like that. But I go through it. I used to go through it every year myself. But I haven't gone through it completely, but I read in it, you know, every year, you know. But it's a good thing to do if you haven't done it already. But is there any questions? You know, anybody got any questions? I didn't think so. Thank you very much. All right, so sign up for that and go to that. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about the spirit of Christmas. And what is the spirit of Christmas? And we want to talk about Is the Holy Spirit the only one that's around during Christmas? Are y'all with me? Because we're going to talk about, hopefully we'll get to the place of understanding that there are other spirits or other attitudes that are around Christmas time that prevent us from entering in the true spirit of Christmas. And hopefully we'll get to that. But some of the things about Christmas that really amazes me is all the things that you hear and read, and we'll read some in just a moment. But you know, we have all the prophecies about the Lord coming, about the Savior coming. And you have all those done, and you have it in a way that you read about it, and then Isaiah has the most Messiah prophecies than any other prophet, than any other book. It has the most, and there's a lot of the prophets that prophesy about Jesus coming. But somebody asked me one time, said, well, if, because they were struggling with this thing about prophets are not for today, and false, you know, if you're a false prophet, you get stoned and all that kind of stuff. And I said, yeah, that's in the Bible. You know, and I said, well, what they said it means is, well, if somebody prophesies and it doesn't come true, he's a false prophet and they got to be stoned. And I said, that was true. Every other Old Testament prophet that prophesied about Jesus coming would have been stoned because he didn't come during their day. If that's what caused them to be stoned, if that's what caused them to be a false prophet. No, false, and that's not a false prophet. False prophet is one that tells you things that lead you away from God and not to God. Let me restate that. False prophet is not because they get it wrong, or you think they get it wrong, because it didn't happen right then. All of them, it happened to all of them. It didn't come true right then. Think about it. You know, a false prophet is one that teaches and tells you things that lead you away from God and not to God. Leads you deeper into a place with God instead of away from God instead of into the things of God. That's the fault. It's like false teaching. False teaching will lead you away from God. It won't lead you to God. It'll lead you away from God. Matter of fact, false teaching a lot of times will lead you to depend upon yourself. It's only you can make it happen. Only you can do things to go to heaven. You have to work to go to heaven. You know, so that's false teaching. It's moving you away from the dependency of God. How many of you were born because he died for you? He paid for your sin. So if you made it without him paying, he died needlessly. He didn't have to die if you could get there by yourself. You know, and you can't even maintain it by yourself. It's him. It's all about him. But anyway, the things in the story of Jesus and the story of the birth of Jesus, you know, they said, name him Jesus. That's the Greek word. You know, Jesus, the Hebrew word is Yeshua, which means God is salvation. Not that he brings it. He does bring it, but he is salvation. He is the salvation. Words like worship, words like Savior, words like he guided Joseph through a dream, words like redemption, words like born king. He was born king. Words like Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, Emmanuel does not mean us with God. It means God with us gives us an opportunity to be with him. Without him coming, we won't have that opportunity. Words like God became man. Paul's selah, that's what we talked, you know, we talked about the seal. Paul's. Wait just a moment before you continue on and think about what was just said. Think about what was just read. That's what Selah means. It's like God became human. God became human. Man, you just had to let that penetrate. Favor, the favor that Mary had. Blessings to Elizabeth. He's called the Messiah. He's called the Deliverer. He's going to deliver his people from their sin just because he was born. Why? Because he was born to die. So, oh my goodness. Joy, peace, and word becoming flesh. All of those things are all around the Christmas story. Over in Matthew chapter 1, it says this, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, in other words, she was engaged to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Underline that. Highlight it. Do whatever you want to with it. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, was not wanted to disgrace her. See how he carried himself. He did not want to disgrace her. He could have had her stoned. Mm-mm. But he decided he was going to put her away secretly, privately. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. There it is again, the Holy Spirit. And she shall bear a son, and she shall call him his name Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. 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 For it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, here it is, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So you see all that's happening here, but one thing I want you to understand here is that Jesus came through Mary, but by the Holy Spirit. See, it is the seed of man that produces the child with the attaching to the egg inside the woman's womb. So when you begin to see that, and see, the thing is, if it wasn't the Holy Spirit, and if he was born of man, he was born of woman, but the seed came from the Holy Spirit, overshadowing. But had he had the seed of man, Ezekiel 34 says this, the iniquities of the fathers, the iniquities of the fathers are visited on the children and on to the grandchildren, to the third and fourth generations. The iniquity. Now, ladies, because it said the iniquities of the fathers, doesn't mean you didn't have anything to do with it. but the seed from the fathers, because we're born in iniquity because of Adam. You know, but see, Jesus was not born in iniquity, because the seed was of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. Does that make sense? It's very important that we understand that. Why? Because that made him pure. Pure. Completely pure. That made him without sin. Because he wasn't born in iniquity. We're born in iniquity. But he wasn't. Why? Because of the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. So it was the seed of the Holy Spirit. Pure, perfect, and here's a good word, incorruptible. Incorruptible. Now, why is that important? Can't be corrupted. Now, why? Because born of the Holy Spirit, incorruptible, without sin, perfect. It was immaculate birth, conception. We don't need to just let that slip by us and say, great. We need to let that sink into us, into our thinking. Why is it important? Because here's why is it important. Because he's born of the Holy Spirit, of Mary by the Holy Spirit. Through Mary by the Holy Spirit. The seed came from the Holy Spirit, overshadowing her. Pure and incorruptible. Write 1 Peter 1:23 down, or you can turn there. Having been born again, how many of you that fits you? You've been born again. Having been born again. Everybody been born again that's in here? Having been born, listen to this. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. John 3 said, Jesus' words, red words here, and Jesus says, you must be born again. And he goes on and says, how you do that is to be born of the Holy Spirit. So the seed of your new birth came from the Holy Spirit, which means your spirit is what? Incorruptible. Why? We're born of the Holy Spirit. Mary was overshadowed by the, and Jesus was born by the Spirit of God. We were born again by the Spirit of God. What's that word again, Eric? Incorruptible. In other words, it cannot be corrupted. Your spirit cannot be corrupted. I don't know about y'all, but that's real good news. If you want to hear good news, that is real good news. Why was it important for him to be holy without sin? Yeah. Look, let's see, where is it at? There's a passage over in Hebrews chapter 2, 14 says this, and this is out of the New Living Translation. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. Only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. I mean, you just pause for, Christmas, yeah, great. No, it's a lot more than what you see up here. This is just an outward expression of the lights and the greenery and just the celebration of who he is. So he took care of the power of the devil. See, the power of sin is not on you anymore. Was that a bell or a chime? What was that? Was that God ringing a bell or something? I don't know what that was. Did y'all hear that? Or was it just me? Did y'all hear it? Okay. All right. Listen to this. See if you get this part. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a child is born. Human. Unto us a son is given. God. Unto us a child is born. Human. Unto us, that's that same child, a son is given. God. God became human. 100% man, yet 100% God. I don't know about y'all. I'm just amazed at that. I'm just absolutely amazed at that. And he goes on and said, the government will be laid upon his shoulders. The government, the government of God's kingdom, it'd be on his shoulders. That is actually called the Shema. That's the reason, Isaiah said, the government will be placed on his shoulders. You remember Jesus says, all you that labor and heavy laden, you come to me and I'll give you rest. And he says, take my yoke. He didn't say, I'll give you my yoke. I'm teaching you something. He didn't say, I'll put this yoke on. He didn't say that. You know who put yokes on people? The religious folk, the church folk put burdens and yokes on people. Jesus said, take my yoke, take it, and put it upon you. Take my yoke upon you. You take it and put it upon you. You let it rest on your shoulders. You let what governed me govern you. Then he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And everybody that's read that verse scratches your head and said, man, I've seen a lot of things that wasn't easy for me, and I've seen a lot of things that wasn't light either. You know, well, the reason being is because we're not listening to the yoke. As we follow what he says, as we are governed by him, it becomes easier. He didn't say we'd go through difficult times. He didn't say that at all. He said, but my yoke, what governs me is easy. Because he said his food is, Jesus said his food is to do what? The will of the Father. That's what I eat. What he's telling, he said, I feed off of doing what the Father wants me to do. It's easy for him. Even to the place of sweating, the sweat turning to blood and being in the garden. Father, if there's any way that this cup, he knew the cup of death, it was coming. He said, this cup can pass from me. But what did he say? But he says, nevertheless. He just described what he was wanting as less than what the Father wanted. Nevertheless. It's not what I want, even though I do want it. It's not what I want. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Thy will be done. See, that was easy for him. Even though it was a hard thing to go through, that was easy for him. Why? He was letting the government of the kingdom, the government of the king, follow him. The government of the Father, Father God. He's going to do what the Father says. That's powerful. It really is. Then it goes on and says what his name is going to be called. Wonderful Counselor. Watch this. Mighty God. Born a man. But mighty God he is. Y'all learn anything yet? It's good stuff. It really is. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Then it said, and the Word became flesh. God became flesh. Once again, God becoming human. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. 1 John 4 says this, by this you'll know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is of God, and every spirit that spirit is of God, because you said Jesus Christ came in the flesh. But you know, there's people that says, you know, that he's not the Son of God. He didn't come in the flesh. Well, he's got words about that too. He said every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that's not of God. So when people are saying, oh, God didn't really come in the flesh, well, that's not of God. They're telling you something that is false. That's a false teacher, false whoever, you know, whatever they're there. He said, and this, the reason for it is because this is a spirit of Antichrist. Right in the midst of, they're saying God becomes human, he starts talking about the Antichrist, because Antichrist is not going to admit that or not going to say that God himself became human. Now, that's the reason Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Right? Well, some say you're a prophet, and some say you're Elijah, you're Jeremiah, and so on and so forth. And they said, okay. But see, what they're saying is, he's just a man. Then he turns and says what? Who do you say that? That's a question every single one of us has got to answer. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? You think I'm just a man? You think I'm just a prophet? You think I'm just one? Now, it's not his words, but that's the result of getting you to think of, who do you say that I am? Then revelation knowledge comes to Peter, and what does he proclaim and declare? Thou art the Christ. Thou art the anointed one. What's the rest of it? The Son of the living God. Think about it. Blessed are you, man. Jesus said, man, you're blessed. Why is he blessed? Because flesh and blood did not tell him that. That news, that word came from the Father. That's what he said. You heard that from the Father. You got a revelation. You got a revelation knowledge that didn't come through flesh and blood. Y'all hear that?
Yeah.
See, and that's what we need. We need the revelation. We've been talking about that for a few weeks. The revelation knowledge. We need this word, but we also need to hear God as He speaks to us. Makes all the difference in the world, especially in the day that we live in. You really need to hear it from God. How many of you sometimes you just really need a word from God? You really need a word from God. And you read this, but you really need God to tell you something about something that is not written in the Bible, but it doesn't conflict with the Bible. Here's the thing about it. Every word that you get from God, you're responsible to depend and trust on God to fulfill that word. I want a word from God. Well, guess what you're saying? Whatever word you give me, I'm making a commitment right now to... My sock just fell down. Brenda, I'd said that before. Brenda said, don't tell people that. Well, it's true. But anyway, whatever word you give, I want a word from God. I need God to tell me whatever you hear from the Spirit, you are saying, I'm going to be responsible to trust you for that word and live according to that word. That's what Jesus said, live according to every rhema. I'm going to live according to that word. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. That's what you're saying when you say, I want a word. So be careful when you say, I want a word from God. Because what you're really saying is, I'll trust you. I'll trust you when you tell me something. I'll trust you. It might be something that you have never heard of before. More than likely, it will be. Has God ever given you a word, and then all of a sudden you say, that ain't God. Nah, I don't think I'm going to go do that. Go over here and speak to this lady. Go over here and speak to this man. Go over here and pray. Nah, I don't feel it. I ain't feeling it. Well, we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. We just sing a song. I walk by faith. Each step by faith. That's what you're saying. I want a word. Well, if we get a word, you better walk it out. Y'all learning anything yet? So just be careful. So, I want a word from God. Well, are you ready to walk it out? Well, if you are, he'll give you one. every spirit that says he didn't come in the flesh, it's not of God. Matter of fact, it's of the spirit of the Antichrist. And you've heard that he's coming, but he's already here now. 2 John 7. Many deceivers are gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming into the flesh. They're deceivers. Anybody say that Jesus has not come in, he's the Son of God has not come into the flesh, they're deceivers. He said, this is a deceiver and an antichrist. So everybody wants to argue about this thing about God becoming human, and they don't really want that. They just understand that they're a deceiver and they're connected to the antichrist. But I know some good people. You may know some good people. But saying that is from the Antichrist. Have you ever thought about this? the whole world, not just the United States, the whole world goes by, it marks time. The whole world, everybody say the whole world. The whole world marks time around the birth and the life of Jesus. The whole world does. B.C. Before Christ. This prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. 740 years B.C. What does that mean? He spoke that 740 years before Christ was born. A.D. A lot of people will say after death, but that's not what it means. So if you were like me, I learned this a good while back, but I said, after death. Yes, after death. Well, if it was after death, we've got a 33-and-a-half-year gap because he lived on this earth for 33-and-a-half years, and then he died. So we've got a gap of 33-and-a-half years if it means after death. But A.D. does not mean after death. Does anybody know what it means? It's what? Year of the Lord. It's Latin. It's Anno Domini. Anno Domini. Anno the A. Domini. That's the D. It's not after death. It's the year of the Lord. So we live right now is what? The year. What is the year? 2021. What? The year of our Lord. 2021, the year of the Lord. The whole world goes by a calendar that pivots off of Jesus Christ becoming human. God becoming human. The whole calendar, the whole world marks time on God becoming human. Does that amaze y'all? It amazes me. Yet it is the whole world that is fighting what? Fighting the deity of Christ. Fighting Christians and fighting Christianity. And yet we go by a calendar that is encircled around God becoming human before he was born. And then the year of the Lord. We don't say it. Matter of fact, I might just start. Say, this is 2021, the year of the Lord. Of the year of the Lord. We're about to enter into 2022, the year of the Lord. Well, that's what it means. Are y'all happy? I mean, this is good stuff. It really. Now, you don't have to be jumping pews, because we don't have pews anyway. I had a pastor say, you know, we would come and visit over there, but we heard that y'all jump pews. He really did say that. See, we heard y'all jump pews. And I said, well, that's not true. I said, we took pews out a long time ago. So when one jumps and hits one, only a chair falls down. The whole pew don't have to fall down. I just messing with him. You know, I said, no, man. I said, I ain't never seen that happen since I've been there. Matter of fact, I ain't never seen that happen in my life. Are y'all with me? Okay. You can't believe everything you hear. Anyway, so here we are. The year of the Lord, 2022, 2021, 2022 is coming forth. The whole calendar, the whole world marks time according to God becoming human. That is good. That is absolutely good stuff to me. But the same people that mark their time that way are the same people that fight Christianity. Yeah. They fight. You know, some people fight, well, Jesus wasn't born on the 25th. And I said, I get it. I understand that. Wasn't he born in December? I get it. I understand that. So, well, why do you do that? I said, because the whole world, it was decided that we're going to celebrate on this day. And I said, the whole world does Christmas on that day. Why? Well, it's on the calendar. Yeah, but he wasn't born. I said, well, you pick a day and I'll celebrate with you. You pick the day you want to, and I'll celebrate with you that day. It's like, don't make it a big deal. But it's this resistance. It's this, you know. But yet they go by the same calendar that everybody else goes by. Let's move on. So there's an attack on God, and there's an attack on Christ, and an attack on us. But let's get to these three, and I'll be quick with these. These three attitudes, these three spirits that still were there then, around his birth, and here today as well. Listen to this one. First one is the spirit of inconvenience. Luke chapter 2. Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem. In verse 6 it said, and it came about while they were there in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to give birth. In other words, it's time for her to deliver. And then it says she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes, the cloths, and laid him in a manger because there were, say it out loud, no room in the inn. No room. So there's an innkeeper because there's an inn. I want you to get this. It was full. But here's where you have to have this revelation knowledge. You have to have this thing of understanding some of this. It's like, okay, what happened? Well, it was full. And there was no place for them to be as far as the innkeeper was concerned. There's no other accommodations that we can do. Pregnant woman about to give birth, and her husband's here. We don't have anything for you. See, the spirit of inconvenience will keep you held in a place that only benefits you. If it's inconvenience and it doesn't benefit you, guess what? If you're going to be led by influenced by that, you won't do it. Even though the Lord may be telling you to do it. See, being influenced by a spirit of inconvenience, well, that's just inconvenient for me to do that. I can't go around making accommodations, making arrangements. Sure, yeah, you can. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Business was booming, but he blocked a blessing. He's full. You mean to tell me there wasn't a closet? You mean to tell me there wasn't a hallway? No room. Inconvenience. It's a place where a guest room of lodging that they were not able to go into without permission. But it's not altogether about space. Because as you study the inns and study how they treated people, guests were treated, listen to this, guests were treated with great honor. And all the servants of that inn, of that area, of that guest room would come and do what? serve. What do you need? Do you need a pitcher to wash your feet? What do you need? You need some extra towel? What do you need? Honor and serving. Inconvenience will stop you from honoring people because it isn't convenient. Inconvenience will stop you from serving people because it's inconvenient. So that still goes around today. If you're led and influenced by inconvenience, then you're not going to do it unless it benefits you. Okay. So the innkeeper didn't do it because it didn't benefit him. Okay. So he had to be born in a place that there's more animals at his birth than there was humans. Which means that it was okay for him to be in the peripheral area, but he can't be inside. Think about it today. It's okay for me to know a little bit about Jesus, but he can't be inside. You get that? It's a little bit inconvenient for me right now because I got friends over here that they might not like me. It's a little inconvenient for me to give a testimony of the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? Okay. Second one. You ready for the second one? The second one is found in Matthew chapter 2, and it's the spirit of politics. It'll keep you from entertaining the Lord, coming to the Lord. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the Magi, the wise men from the east, arrived in Jerusalem. And here's what they said. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Telling a king, where's the new king born? He's king of the Jews. And you're telling that to a king. Because that king they're telling it to, what does he say? I am king of the Jews. I'm the king of the whole area. Are y'all hearing me? King of the Jews. You know, and then they said, we saw his star. Not a star. We saw his star. His star. We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. You're telling the king that. You're telling the king that. King Herod heard this, and he was troubled. That word trouble means he was agitated and aggravated to no end. But it didn't stop there. And he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Everybody was troubled. So the wise men wanted to know, because the star led them to Bethlehem. Now, okay, where's he at? So the king does not want competition. The king's not going to share his throne. If you're king of your throne, you don't want Jesus telling you what to do. If you're in charge of your life, you don't want Jesus telling you what to do. You won't want Jesus saying anything to you. He did not want somebody else to come on the scene that he would have to bow down to. He did not want anybody else to come on the scene that he would have to submit to. You think that spirit's alive today? Absolutely. Absolutely. So he was under the assumption that he's king. And he's going to stay king, according to him. He didn't want any threats to him being dethroned. So he tricked them and said, hey, you go. So here's that political thing. So he tricked them. He lied to them, deceived them. You go and find him. And when you find him, you come back. Let me know where he is. because I want to come and worship him too. The deceiving part of power. Tell him I'm not here. No, tell him I'm busy. I am here. So you get this, you hear all this happening, and this political spirit, this spirit of power, this spirit of control wants to maintain it. He tricked them, and they went on their way. They found him, but they were warned by revelation knowledge, do not go back that way. Yeah. Let me tell you something. When you encounter, look, watch this. When you encounter Jesus, they find him, and he's a child. He's not a baby. He's a toddler. Because this manger scene with the three kings showing up when he's an infant, that, no, it didn't happen. He's a child. Because they found the child. He's a toddler. That's the reason that when they didn't go back and tell King Herod, when they didn't go back and tell him, he got so mad about it that he said, okay, I want every child, every male child that is 2 and under to be killed. What's he after? Protecting his throne. He doesn't care about the people. You don't care about the people when you go in and get a 2-year-old and go kill. You don't care about the people. Okay. The last one, you're ready for the last one. There's more to talk about that, but I don't have time. The last one is the spirit of religion. Because what about the spirit of religion? Well, after he comes back, well, after he hears news about the king's been born, he says this. He says this he says in verse 4 of Matthew 2. And when he heard this, and then he gathered the chief priests, he got all the preachers, got all them that knows the Bible, and the scribes, all them that knows the Old Testament, he got them all together, and he inquired of them, said, where is this Christ that's been born? Where is he? I mean, tell me about it. And then they said, and they quoted a chapter out of Micah, and it said, he's born in Bethlehem of Judea. It's written of him that he's in Bethlehem. And he says, for out of you shall come a ruler. This is religious folk telling him, out of you come. So here's what the religious spirit will do. It'll know the scripture, but it won't go to him. It won't make the trip to where Jesus is at. But it'll know all about him, but won't know him. That's what a religious spirit will do. It'll know all about him, but it won't know him. Jesus says this in John. He says, John chapter 5, he says, you search the scriptures because you think in them that you have eternal life in the scriptures. He said, and these bear witness of me. The scriptures that you're learning, the scripture that it bears witnesses of me. He said, but you are unwilling to come to me. Even though you're reaching in and studying the Bible, you're unwilling to come to me. So they didn't make the trip to Bethlehem, even though they knew the scriptures. Even though they heard about the wise men come and said, we followed a star. They knew the scriptures about the star. They knew the scriptures about Bethlehem. They knew all the scriptures about that. But did they go? No. Why? They're just religious. I don't need to go. I know all about God. All right. Last page. Last page. And all I'm going to do with this is just tell you this. Those are the three things you're going to have to look out for. Because it was prevalent during that day, and it is today. So you need to make your journey without the influence of inconvenience. You need to make your journey without influence of a political spirit. You need to make your journey without the influence of a religious spirit. Amen? And that's the truth. That's the truth. And this last thing is who did make the journey? Joseph made the journey. He heard from God, don't go that way. You take her to be your... And he made the journey to Bethlehem. He made the journey. He had revelation knowledge of what's happening. The shepherds made the journey. They said, when you'll find him this way. They made the journey and they went. They were out tending flock. Wise men made the journey. And they made, and I don't know, they could have spent a year and a half getting there. Not sure, but they could have spent a year and a half getting there. But they made the journey. One last thing with this thing about the shepherds. It says, and that said, it's glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You want to know what that really says in the Greek? What that really says in the Greek is this. Glory to God in the highest, that still it says the same thing. And on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest. And this is amplified. And when you study in the Greek, you'll find it. Peace on earth among men with whom he is well pleased. Men of goodwill. Men of favor. I know a lot of people, when you say peace on earth, goodwill toward, I know a lot of people that don't have goodwill toward men. I know a bunch that doesn't have any goodwill toward men. So that's really not what it means completely. It means goodwill his favor is given to the men that he's well pleased with. They're following him. That's the reason you have goodwill toward you. You're following Jesus. Amen? Did you learn anything today? I'm glad. I don't know. Let's just all stand just for a moment. We're going to close. But I do know that if you don't know the Jesus that became man, the God that became man, and 100% man and 100% God, and he's really... your life's really not been sold out to him. It's been under a lot of other things. But there hasn't been a giving up inside you. And you haven't really been born again of the Spirit. Maybe you have been taught so much religion that you become religious. Maybe it's other things. But if there's anyone here that says today, Pastor, I'm ready today, right now, this moment, to give my life to Jesus and surrender to him. Is there anybody here that wants to do that today? I'm going to scan the area. Just lift your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Now, Brother Doug, if you'll come down, we don't want to embarrass anybody, but if you guys would just come down to Brother Doug, and he'll lead you in a passage, he'll lead you in a scripture, and it says you confess it with your mouth, but you got to believe it in your heart. God bless you, men, for coming down. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 Pastor Charlie's going to play. Anybody else need prayer? You just like to have prayer today? There's something that's on your heart. There's something you're going through, but you'd like to have prayer for that. Is anybody that would like, if you want prayer for whatever it is that you need prayer for, Brenda, Pastor John, Vicky, you guys come over here and stand. If you just want prayer, maybe it's healing. Maybe it's something you're struggling with. Maybe it's something that you just want somebody to pray over. Okay, just come and these three will pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay, before we adjourn, before we're going to release you, let's just take a moment to pray for these that come down. Would you do that? You pray your prayer. Just bow your head before God and just pray for these people that come, want to surrender their life, and pray for these other people that need prayer for whatever reason. Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for your will being done. And God, we just ask you in Jesus' name to minister to these by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, may these two young men come to know you, and may they be born of the Spirit today and come to know you, who you truly are. And these that have needs, we ask you, God, to meet their needs. We ask you, God, to make yourself to become real to them, that they're not alone and they have everything that they need in your presence. Thank you again. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you will, you can be dismissed. I would just ask you to be a little reverent down in this area. Okay, just be quiet here, but you're freedom to go. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed the message today.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.